I am a rational kind of a guy. I always want to figure out how everything works, how everything can be reasoned out. When I was a kid, I always, if something wasn't working, I'd take it apart. Figure out what all the component parts did, find what was broken. Sometimes I even managed to fix it and get it back together right again. I was one of those curious kids that needed to know how a transmission worked and how an engine worked. And later on when I was pastoring, I had a copy machine and I had to have somebody show me how it worked. I want to know how things work. I remember when I was about 14, we had an automatic transmission in an old Mercury that the transmission went out. I always hated automatics. I still won't drive one. I insist on a stick shift. I think it's a control thing. But Dad suggested we put a stick shift in this car. And so we went down to the junkyard and found an LTD with a stick shift and pulled it out and pulled all the linkage out. And then Dad got busy and I had to finish it up. And I got it working. And that car lived the rest of its life with a stick shift the 14-year-old put in. I'm still amazed I managed that one. I built my first computer. I don't know how to do that anymore. I just buy a laptop now. But I want to know how things work. I love WordPerfect, and I detest Microsoft Word. You know why? WordPerfect has an Alt F3 function that when you hit that, it opens a window and you can look under the hood and see what it's doing. I always want to know what's happening inside. I want to dissect, analyze, and figure it out. It's just my nature. So when at age 17 I felt a call to the ministry to be a pastor, to be a teacher of spiritual things and of the Bible, I figured I needed to be able to take the Word of God, pull it all apart into its component pieces, take the gospel, the cross, the message of Scripture about Jesus, pull it all apart, explain or understand all the little pieces so that when I explained it to you, it would be so clear you'd have to accept it. And then I discovered something. Well, I've been discovering it over the years and admitting it in more recent years. I will never understand the cross. No matter how much I know about it, no matter how much I analyze what Jesus did, you know, how could God become human and still be divine at the same time? How could God die on a cross when God's immortal? How could Jesus live a sinless life? We don't even come close. There are so many hows and whats that we need to figure out, or we think we do. Raising the dead, how does that work? Jesus ascending off up to heaven. Where's heaven? What's up there? And the more we try to understand, and the more we actually learn, the more we discover that there are these like side canyons cutting across our thought patterns. And every once in a while, we just come across depths that are beyond us. Like if you try to go hiking up along the edge of Glen Canyon and the Grand Canyon, you think you're hiking along fine, and all of a sudden you come to one of these slot canyons. There's no way across. It's straight down on the sides, and all you can do is take a detour, unless someone's going to build you a bridge. And I feel that way when I try to understand the cross. I grasp a point, I maybe grasp another point, I figure this out, and then I run into a canyon and all I can do is be amazed at the depth and the wonder that's completely beyond me. Now, we human beings do not like to believe there's anything we can't rationally understand, figure out. There's a whole culture in our society, if you can't test it in a test tube, it isn't real. I don't know how those people deal with love, because that's completely irrational, isn't it? I don't even understand myself. Do you understand yourself? I find that I'm more than I can comprehend. And I don't mean that in a haughty way. I mean that more in the way that I find myself acting ways that I wish I could figure out. Just the other night, my wife and I had a little event between us where it was something totally insignificant, but she said something and I responded some way, and then she wanted to know why I was acting that way. And I didn't know why I was acting that way. Didn't make sense to me either, but that's how I felt. So I just kind of laid back on the pillow and went silent on her. She didn't like that either. But I was trying to figure myself out. I never did. The point I'm making here is, why do we have a hard time accepting something we can't comprehend about God or about the gospel or about the cross when we can't even comprehend ourselves half the time? Here's the point. I think if we look around at our world, and if we look at ourselves in particular, we discover that there's a problem bigger than I can handle, and in fact, there's a problem bigger than I can comprehend, whether it's me or the world at large. We've had thousands of years, hundreds of cultures and different legal systems and social systems trying to somehow get a handle on the evil and the twistedness of human beings. And nobody yet has succeeded. Every time we get something going aright, something comes in and wipes it out, doesn't it? Every great society crumbles. Every great system we get going falls apart. Why? And the historians analyze and the sociologists try to figure it out. I've kind of given up on the idea we're ever going to figure ourselves out. I think we're more than we can comprehend, and we're definitely more than we can handle. Which means, if we have a problem bigger than we can handle and a problem bigger than we can comprehend, we need a solution that's bigger than the problem, right? And that solution is also going to be bigger than we can comprehend, or it wouldn't be big enough to handle the problem. Do you follow the logic? See, I had to get it logical some way or another here. Are we able to function with things that we don't comprehend? Do you understand all about why your car works and how it works? I'll bet you don't. I bet you take it to someone smarter in that area than you and it's not working right. But you drive it. You got here tonight. You covered a distance bigger than you could walk in a machine that was more than you could comprehend. You don't know how it works, but you know how to work it. We do it in everyday life, whether it's the microwave oven or the copy machine or whatever else in our lives. We constantly use things that are beyond our own understanding, but we work them anyway. And yet we arrive at the gospel and we say, well, I can't understand this or that or something else, and unless I can comprehend it, I'm not going to go there. I think we're being illogical. I think we're being a little haughty. And I think we're being kind of stupid. We do all kinds of mechanical and functional physical things in our lives every day with things we don't fully comprehend. Therefore, we use them by faith. Isn't that right? But when it comes to eternal spiritual things, and I think there's plenty of evidence there's more to us than just physical. We need more in our lives than getting enough to eat without being eaten, so to speak. There's a spiritual component. There's something bigger than the physical. But we get to that, and all of a sudden we dig in our heels and say, I've got to have proof. I've got to understand it all. No, you'll never understand it all. But I think we understand enough to get in and drive it all the way to eternity. When I contemplate the cross, then, I come up with two major things I want to point out this evening. Number one, I get a sense when I look at Jesus and Calvary of the depth of the problem. The depth of the problem that we have as people and as sinners. When I look at the cross and I see how huge and incredible and intense and monstrous that was, how cruel, how difficult, how far God went, it gives me a sense of realizing that we need more than just a bandage. We need a transplant. We have a problem that's lethal, systemic, an infection, a mutation, not just a cosmic blemish. It's our problem is beyond self-help and counseling and behavior modification. This is a life and death issue. The dimensions of the battle at the cross say this is serious business. There's something really big that's wrong, and a God that really understands that and went to tremendous trouble to deal with the problem. There must be something really wrong in a really big way to God, for God to go to so much trouble and for evil to go to so much trouble to try to stop God from doing what he was doing. Why at the cross do we have the incredible cruelty? I don't understand cruelty. Do you? Just people making people hurt? There's something I don't understand about that. But God went to the kind of trouble to face a problem. And the length that he went to tells me it must be pretty serious. A deep, deep problem. And when I look in the mirror, when I look at my own motives behind things I do and say, when I look at the garbage that goes through my mind, when I'm not intending to think about garbage at all. You know what I'm talking about? How do I fix that? There's a deep, deep problem. The other thing I learned from the cross is something about the length of God's love. Wayne Watson put out a song a few years ago, something about you can never outrun the long arm of the Lord. We always say the long arm of the law, but the long arm of the Lord. The Lord reached way, way, way out to try to find us and rescue us and save us. The risk God took, the inconvenience he went through, the humility, vulnerability, discomfort, condescension. We must be incredibly valuable to God for him to go to such lengths to seek and to save. No one goes to that much work to redeem something that has no value. We may be a mess, but we are precious to God just the same. And so God became a human being. Remember, Jesus has to be God for this to work. Jesus isn't some third party that God kicked because he was mad at us. This isn't you have a rough day with the boss so you come home and kick the dog type thing. If you owe me $100 and I grab Dennis over here and I hold him down and I make him pay me $100 so I'll feel better about you. Does that work? No. So the only way Jesus can really be the solver of the sin problem when we are in rebellion with God is if Jesus truly is God. So God became human. He went to a lot of trouble. His love is so great to reach down and somehow try to rescue us. Couple of verses of scripture. For when we were still without strength, when we were weak, in due time, in other words, right on time, Christ died for the ungodly. Are you ungodly? Either you admit it or you're a liar, I think. Which means you're ungodly, right? Okay. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The most anyone can ever give for someone else is their life. Now face it, if you were, $100,000 in debt and about to lose your house, and I had $100,000, wouldn't that be nice, and I paid your debt, I'd give a lot to you. But if I could just make all the money on earth, I wouldn't have given much at all, would I? So if God had given gold or galaxies for us, he could just make some more. But he gave himself. That's the most he can give. And he did it for us while we were still a mess, while we were still sinners. Notice this passage. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. That's not a very pretty picture. Back when we were as good as dead, heading after the dark side, and there in verse 3 where it says, once conducted ourselves, the word conducted has the connotation of going in circles with the lusts of our flesh. Have you ever caught yourself going in circles after your own twisted compulsions and addictions and unable to break out of the circle? That seems to be what this is talking about. God looks down, we're headed for the dark side, we're spinning in circles, we're going absolutely nowhere, and we're as good as dead, and we're children of wrath. The word wrath is passion. Kind of like living forever in the terrible twos. Just doing what you feel like all the time and unable to grow up. Now it continues, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He went to all the work to raise us out of our deadness through Jesus Christ and the cross. For one reason, verse 7, forever, the ages to come, he wants to lavish upon us the kindness of his love. Wow. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Man, if that's true, that's good. And you'll never be able to prove it. You can understand bits and pieces, but there are always those chasms. Paul says here, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's more of a visceral statement than a purely logical statement. Paul got it. He didn't fully understand the cross, but he knew Jesus came to solve his problem, which is bigger than he could comprehend, and he was simply willing to accept what Jesus gave. You have to accept the mystery. If you want to be purely scientific, you'll never get the cross. There's always going to be some mystery because God is up to things that are way bigger than us. I like the words of a song by Michael Card. One phrase, give up on your pondering and fall on your knees. There's a time to ponder and there's a time to just believe. So we have some bad news. The bad news, there's a problem bigger than you are. There's a problem bigger than you can handle and bigger than you can comprehend. But there's some good news. When you look at the cross, even though you can't fully understand it, that's evidence that there is a solution which is bigger than you, bigger than the problem, and bigger than you can comprehend. Accepting the bad news is called confession. Accepting the good news is called faith. If you've slipped over the edge of the Grand Canyon and you're hanging on to a little ledge by your fingertips and you cry out, somebody help me, and coming down over the edge is a rope. Well, look at that. Now, you're clinging to the edge and you look at that rope that's dangling in front of your nose and you say, I got a problem here. In order to grab the rope, I got to let go. Right? I don't know if that rope is strong enough. I don't know who's at the other end of the rope. I don't know if the person at the other end is strong enough to pull me up. But I'll guarantee one thing. If you don't grab the rope, you're going to fall to your death. And if you do grab the rope and it's not strong enough, or the guy at the top isn't strong enough, you're going to die too. It's a mystery. So you have to just release and grab. Grab the hope. It's not a guarantee, it's a hope. And if it's good, you live, and if it's not, you're dying anyway. It's kind of how I come to the cross. I can't prove it. There's something out there that seems to speak to my heart and say there's something real. Something real about my problem, something real about God's solution. Nothing else has worked. Sometimes I feel kind of like the disciples. They're in John chapter 6, where Jesus, all the multitudes left Jesus, and he said, "Are you going too?" And they said, "Where else would we go?" That's not very comforting, is it? Man, if we had some other place to go, we would be out of here. But you're the best thing we got, so we're going to stick with you. Sometimes I feel that way. I don't understand it. But nobody's come up with anything to bring more joy and peace and purpose and value and meaning to my life than being connected with Jesus Christ. So I'm stuck there until you come up with something better for me. Even though there's a mystery and I don't fully understand it. I want to invite you to consider. I don't know where you're at with your walk with Jesus Christ. Whether you're a long-term Christian, whether you're a skeptic, whether you don't even believe in God, I want you to consider the mysteries of your own life and the mysteries of the cross. And if God is speaking to your heart, if the Holy Spirit has touched you somehow with the music or the words tonight, it's real simple to just say, "Jesus, I'm going to accept the mystery of who I am and confess that. I'm going to accept the mystery of who you are and put my faith in that." And Scripture says, the moment you believe, you have eternal life. You pass from death into life. And your present takes on new meaning and power. And your eternity is in the deal. I'd like to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes with me for a prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive us for being so stubborn and thinking that anything that's real is small enough for us to understand. Give us the ability to think with our hearts, not just our heads. To see with our hearts the things that are deeper and greater than the physical and the rational. Thank you for speaking to our rational minds about who you are and about our need and about salvation. But help us to also be willing to go with the mystery. And Lord, if you've spoken to our hearts tonight, if there's anyone in this room who has not received Jesus as their Savior, I want to give you a chance to just pray a simple prayer with me. All you have to do is say a simple prayer, Jesus hears, and the transaction happens. Just repeat after me quietly to yourself. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing to me who I am, that I have a problem bigger than I can handle or comprehend. Thank you tonight for revealing to me about Jesus Christ and the cross, and helping me see that though I cannot fully comprehend it, it is a solution bigger than my problem. Thank you for loving me enough to go to all the trouble to come and live and die. Thank you that you rose again and you live now to empower and to transform. I give you my life. I put my faith in your cross, and I accept your gift of eternal life, and I thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now tonight, if you happen to have prayed that prayer with me and made a decision for Jesus, I want to ask you to do one thing when we close. We have two more songs. And then as people exit, I'd just like you to come around over to this side, over by the windows up in the front. We have several people on a prayer team who would love to meet with you, talk to you a little bit about your decision, help you get started with your walk with Jesus, and pray with you. If you need a Bible, we have a Bible for you as well for free if you need one of those. So enjoy the rest of the concert, and God bless you.